Good day, patrons. Ooh, good day, patrons. Is that better than hello, patrons? I don't know. But it's the name of the show now.
Good day, patrons.
That could be an additional new feature from DTNS.
Bonjour, patrons.
DTNS mornings.
Yeah, good screw day, you, patrons. Morning stream. We're coming after you.
I'm excited about the TweetStorm feature.
Are you? Okay, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. I think that could even be an entire discussion topic if we didn't already have one.
Well, it does link to our discussion topic because you did a TweetStorm. I thought that was kind of a cool connection. Yeah.
I'm going to go get some water.
Okay.
And I will be right back. So... Good day, patrons.
Tell Sonia patrons. Hi, and we're thinking of her, and it's awesome.
Oh, thank you. She's already half asleep. Well, it's okay. Like 11 a.m. here.
Don't wake her then.
Are you sure? I could.
I'd prefer that you didn't wake her. Hey, Tom wants to tell you well wishes, so he told me to wake you up from your sleep, from your much-needed sleep.
Tom?
Yeah.
The baker?
She knows Tom.
Tom Baker.
All right, be right back.
All right.
Well, my wife knows who you are, too. So there, Patrick.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, none.
So we have a nickname now for Sawyer that I cannot tell you because it is a spoiler.
Oh, because did you gift the thing already?
Did I what?
No, that's Christmas.
Oh, no, not that. I'm talking about from Star Wars.
Hey guys, just because there was some echo coming from me yesterday, how am I today?
I'm not hearing anything yet.
Good.
Yeah,
good. Good. Because as much as those headphones sound good,
yeah,
it's a lot. It's a lot of headphone.
It's heavy. Heavy lies the head that wears the headphones.
It's Princess Leia all the time.
Yeah, you don't want that all the time. Only when you want.
No, you want to dabble.
Yeah.
Just a little dabbling.
Little dabble do you.
Well, shoot. Little dabble do you. What was that commercial? What was that?
So I want to say it was a hair cream.
Yeah. I think you're right. What was it?
Brill cream. A British brand of hairstyling product. Little dabble do you.
What was the name of it?
Brill cream.
Oh, Brill cream. Oh, I was thinking of, what was the one?
Oops. Now there's a happy accident. An accident that could lead to opportunity. But then he had to take off his hat. And poor guy. Dry, lifeless hair can take the fun out of your life, but you can put it back with Brill Cream. With Brill Cream, a little dabble do you. Watch Brill Cream put life in dry hair and fun back into your life. Brill Cream gives your hair that look the ladies love.
Excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy, so masculine. What?
Disturbingly healthy.
Brill Cream, a little dabble do you. Brill Cream, you look so nice.
I hear an echo. The whole point of Brill Cream is to get women to chase you, apparently.
Does it work?
According to this commercial, it works great.
Oh, so it does work.
Wait, yeah. I hear it as echoing.
I think it's it might be Sarah's headphone a little bit closer to her mic than usual.
What's up?
I just heard an echo. I don't hear it anymore.
Is it coming from me?
Well, I was hearing it when Tom was playing the little Brill Cream video.
Yeah, well, I was doing USB pass-through on my mixer, too, so that can cause echo.
But also there was...
Do you hear it now?
Yeah, I hear it. Yeah, I just heard it.
Now?
Now.
Now. Now, 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 now.
Hello.
Hello, 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 hello.
Okay, you know what? That's unhelpful.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not helpful.
Do you hear an echo?
Do you hear an echo?
I'm not wearing glasses, Roger.
I heard an echo, actually.
You did?
I hear nothing.
For just...
But
it was here last week as well.
Daily Tech
News
Show.
But it's very faint. Sarah, can you mute yourself for a second? Hello, are we hearing the echo now?
Echo, echo. Do you hear it?
No.
Nope.
So it is me.
Can we hear an echo now? Yes.
Slight, yeah. Not as pronounced as it was yesterday.
See, I know this is Apple internal speaker.
Brill cream, a little dabble.
I just have you turn down more, usually.
Okay. Better? Roger?
Yes.
Okay.
Wonderful.
And now, all together, the Brill Cream jingle.
Brill Cream, a little dabble, do you?
There you go. You got it.
What was the one? Oh, I want to call it Goop. It was not called Goop, but it was hair gel that was like in a big tub. Very popular in the 80s for a few years.
You know, I think my dad used that. That sounds really familiar.
Yeah, and it was like green. It's kind of gross. We had
green,
some in the house.
Green, a little dabble, do you?
Dippity do is definitely not it, but that's what came up.
It was called Dep.
Dep?
Dep. That's what it was called.
Like Johnny?
It was Dep hair gel. Not like Johnny Dep, 1P.
Oh, yeah, Dep. Hair products of the 1980s. Man, you can get everything on the internet. It's amazing. Dippity do was an actual hair gel.
That was the end of Depp for me.
Yeah. Brill cream. Oh, they still make Depp. You can still buy it. It's not green anymore.
Can you still buy real cream?
Well, maybe it was never green. It was like a fluorescent kind of packaging, though.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a
blue.
Yeah, you can still buy Brill Cream. Buy it on Amazon.
How about that?
I remember. What was the other one?
Roger, you're low relative to the rest of us.
Hello.
There we go.
I'm just yelling into the mic.
Oh, should we go live?
It's 26. I usually don't go until after 27.
Oh, okay. I got wrong. Sure.
Give it a minute.
I have hair.
Don't waste it.
Roger, you're when you're not leaning into the mic, your volume goes down by half. So I don't know if you want to turn yourself up or
the mixer doesn't go any further up. I'm maxed out on everything.
You're usually not low though.
Yeah, but I haven't changed anything.
I think maybe you changed your mic position or something then.
How's that? Nothing.
Well, you leaned right into the mic, so when you lean into the mic, it was sounding all right before. Hard to say.
How about now?
That sounds good now. Just make sure you're on top of the mic when you talk.
All right, starting stream.
Okay.
Streaming is starting.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the stream. I'm Tom Merritt, and this is going to be your Daily Tech News Show in just a few minutes.
Not
how about
sure.
That?
Is that like a newscaster, TV newscaster type of thing?
Sure.
Sure. Could be that.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Yeah, whatever works for you, that's what it is.
Well, that's what I would like it to be. So thank you, Tom.
W-G-E-L.
I mean, I guess if you were a TV newscaster and there was nothing going on before the newscast, you might say that. But we don't really
get it. Felt more like a stage announcement. Show. Ladies and gentlemen, the show will be beginning in just
please,
a few
take
moments.
Your seat.
Please turn off your.
And might we remind you, no photographs or cameras allowed during the show. Thank you very
no
much.
No flash photography. Do not attempt to take pictures of the flash.
Glass bottles not permitted in auditorium.
No throwing of vegetables.
No canoodling.
My favorite stadium announcement was one I had to make at women's volleyball at the University of Illinois about parents, please watch your children.
Oh, because they were like run onto the court?
Yeah, because there wasn't really a good separation in the gym. they're, you know, they weren't playing in assembly hall. They were playing in a smaller gym. And you know, it was like, you don't want them running out in the middle of the court, in the middle of the game.
No, you don't.
At night court.
Night court. That's got bull.
Shannon. They went through four female prosecutors on that show until they ended up with Marky Post.
Oh, see, that's the only one I remember.
There's three more before her.
And John Larroquette.
John Larroquette, Harry.
He was the public defender, right?
No, he was a prosecutor. The women were all the defenders.
Oh, it was the defenders they went through. You're right.
I don't really remember Night Court. I mean, I remember that it was a show. Yeah. It was a comedy. But it was like a little adult for me. Like, you know, I didn't know.
I just remember Harry wanted to be a magician.
He was a magician.
You mean the actor was a magician?
Yeah, and he also did a bunch of cameos on Cheers, that character. Who's, I don't know if it was that character.
The character or the actor?
Well, the actor, but in Cheers, he was also known as Harry.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know if it was supposed to be.
Was it Cheers / Vic? Yeah.
Well, Night Court was NBC, right? So maybe there were some crossover characters.
Yeah, maybe. You know, like the Love Boat docking at Fantasy Island.
Was Night Court after Cheers? Was it a 9:30 show?
Yes, it was definitely.
It must have been. Because I think at 10 was L.A. Law.
L.A. Law. Wow.
That was definitely too old for me. But
that,
you know,
came much later, I feel like. That was near the end of the Cheers run, I guess.
That and a lot of.
It's 1:30, guys.
Oh, wow.
That's how I win this argument.
That was impressive.
All right. You guys ready? Sarah, can you say the opening?
Well, sure.
Aw, thanks.
Aw, anytime.
Here you go.
Wait, let me get into the right. Okay, here we go.
3, 2.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, December 12, 2017, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, where two felines are sleeping soundly, as usual, I'm Sarah Lane.
And from the Helsinki offices in Finland, I'm Patrick Beja.
And, of course, alongside our intrepid producer, Roger Chang.
Hello. Good day.
You are, if not intrepid, Roger.
Yes. I think
this is a show where we try to put the news in context for you, the tech news in context. So we talk about some of the things we find to be important every day. We try to cover some opinions, and we're going to do that today. We're going to talk about the culture of outrage on the internet. And Patrick has a really interesting phrase for something that he and I have both been talking about going on, but let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Bungie is sorry. The game developer says it made some mistakes by locking users out of some high-level content in Destiny 2 Curse of Osiris.
Osiris.
Behind a purchase of the game's first expansion last week, but that was even if they previously had access to the content. Obviously, there was some outrage. Bungie plans to offer a patch tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure that'll fix everything. Nobody will be.
If only that was the only mistake Bungie did with Destiny 2. If only. Dating app Tinder has a new feature called Feed. It's testing in Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, so users can potentially stalk potential matches, Instagram posts, and Spotify music more easily. Connecting these services to Tinder was already possible. Now it's just baked in more. The feature is limited to those you've swiped right on or liked, not all users.
And you could shut it off from other people seeing it if you want. Facebook's AR Studio is available to all developers now. And in a few days, Facebook is letting all developers build world effects similar to Snapchat lenses. Right now, users open the Facebook Messenger camera. You can scroll through the world effects and put them on your face. And soon there'll be more to choose from. Woohoo. Now, here are some more top stories, Patrick.
Nintendo announced Tuesday it has sold 10 million Nintendo Switch units in less than 9 months. Ars Technica points out that's more than the Wii U, PS3, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and Nintendo DS sold in those products for the first 10.5 months.
So it took them longer than the Switch to get to 10 million.
Exactly. And it's also quite important to note that the Switch did it in the time that, in that time without a holiday period. I mean, we're sort of into the holiday period already, but the big date hasn't passed yet. All of these other ones, if I'm not mistaken, had the Christmas period during those first 10-ish months.
Yeah.
Patrick and I were kind of joking around before the show where I was like, Nintendo story, there's not much to talk about. And he was like, well, yeah, there is. And I guess just because I don't own a Switch, but I know how popular it is. Was there a particular game that we can kind of attribute to this sort of rocket ship of sales?
Absolutely. It's definitely The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, which is basically, there are so many great games this year that many of them are considered for Game of the Year, but this one is definitely one of the front runners. It's definitely a signal that actually what matters in this industry of gaming is the console is important, and you always have people bickering about, you know, this one is more powerful than that one, or this one has better features than that one. But ultimately, what really matters is games. And the Switch has definitely proven that with excellent games that pushed the console entirely, even though it had some other potential drawbacks. The other console that is very popular at the moment is the PlayStation 4, which has known an incredible rate of sales, and it sold about the same as the Switch is selling now, again, including that Christmas period in its first 10 months. That being said, I do want to mention before we move on, it's kind of a very speculative to predict a meteoric success for the Switch beyond this. I think it's likely, but you have to keep in mind that a lot of people rushed to buy it in its first months, and those are the core fans. It remains to be seen whether or not it will reach a much wider audience. It's possible, but again, I don't think we should take this success to mean that it's going to break the records of, let's say, the Wii, which reached a very, very casual audience, which might have been its downfall in the end.
Yeah, I kind of think the future success of the Switch will continue to depend on games, as you might expect. They got Zelda, then they got Mario out, which was also highly praised. Not quite as much as Breath of the Wild, but certainly highly almost praised. So they need to keep that happening. They need to keep a steady beat of that. I think they've got a few more great months of grace period, don't you, before they have to come up with another one, but eventually they will.
It's kind of interesting that a company like Nintendo that, you know, I think of from, you know, my big Nintendo days were a long time ago, but I played a lot of Super Mario and certainly Zelda. So it's funny to hear that, you know, I'm asking Patrick, like, what's the big game, expecting maybe something I'd never heard of? And you're like, Legend of Zelda, then Mario.
And it's definitely, they have more than just this, but these are the big ones. And what's really interesting with this this generation is that they reinvented the games and what those games, it's still the same themes, but they've adapted the design of the games to be quite different, and that's what is kind of pushing the console and the love of gamers. But to address the other thing about games, Nintendo is a very peculiar company because their games keep selling for the entire lifetime of the console. You know, they never lose value or sell cheaply secondhand, or very rarely. So even if they will come out with other games, but the Zelda and Mario will remain the tentpoles of the console.
Well, speaking of holiday shopping, Apple updated its website to show that the iMac Pro will go on sale Thursday, December 14th. Just in a couple days from now, 2017. The iMac Pro uses Xeon processors, has a 5K display, and includes a Radeon Vega GPU. Now, Apple didn't post a price on the website, but the last indication was that configurations would start, that means base model, at $4,999.99. Really, really cheap. Only the 8 and the 10 core variants will be available at first, by the way, with a 14 and 18 core variant available for order next year.
So if you want the most powerful iMac Pro, don't buy it yet. don't buy it on Thursday. But if you just have to have a Xeon processor in your desktop PC, which granted some people do, then this is going to be tempting. It's really expensive though.
It's really also expensive. And you know, I like to think that I'm, you know, I like Apple products, but this is way too rich for my blood as much as I'd like a new iMac Pro.
And it's also a very interesting proposition because the iMac line is the only one that you can't upgrade. And usually the pro versions of devices or of computers, and especially at those prices, are the ones that you can upgrade. So they're trying to merge the two. I'm not sure how well it's going to work out, but a lot of people seem to be very ready to shell out a few $1,000s.
Well, they stopped easy upgrades with the Mac Pro trash can edition, so... That's
sure, but
that's all
they
in the past.
They're sort of walking it back now, saying, "Oh, that was a mistake. We're going to make one that you want to upgrade." So,
tweet storms, aka threads on Twitter, are when someone replies to their own tweets to create a string of related messages. Used to not even be able to look at these all together. Then Twitter has been slowly accommodating itself to them so that the replies would show next to each other. Patrick used one as the basis for today's main topic, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Twitter is making such threads an official thing. As the feature slowly rolls out to Android and iOS users, you'll begin to see a plus sign in your compose window that will let you compose a new tweet in the same window. And once you're done adding messages, you can tap tweet all and the thread will be published all at once. Nice and tidy. You don't have to keep going back in and pressing reply. If you're a viewer on Twitter, you will see the first message in the thread. Sometimes you may see, it's kind of confusing, sometimes you may see more than the first, but you'll always see the first. And then you'll get a link that says show this thread if you want to see the whole series of posts. Patrick, you were excited by this.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people who are critics and a lot of people who are for this feature. I think whether or not you like it, the reality is people are using Twitter in that way. And if Twitter has been good at anything, it's including, you know, integrating uses that people developed for the platform. I mean, hashtags, at replies, all of those didn't exist initially. Retweets, none of these existed within the platform. Again, I think they exist anyway. So rather than having to number them and say thread and all of those annoying things, I think it's absolutely a good thing that they're making this whole thing easier and less confusing.
Yeah, every time Twitter rolls out a feature that's just better organization for the entire Twitter network, I kind of mumble grumble and go, I remember in 2007 and it was just the power users. But it's true that tweet storms or any tweet that's like 10 tweets long or whatever, it can be really hard to follow. Even if somebody is replying to themselves correctly, there's also these features where if you quote someone's tweet and then you send that out, then you're not really quoting the whole tweet storm. It's just part of it. And so I've actually seen people quite a bit as of late be like, remember, don't quote my tweets because then you'll break the whole system that I've, you know, cleverly set up. I think you're right, Patrick. If people are going to continue to use Twitter this way, yeah, we've got more characters per tweet now. But if you've really got something to say, you're going to have to do it in multiple tweets. I guess it's good for Twitter to have less people be lost.
I miss the old days when they forced you to 140 characters.
Me too.
Instagram has added the ability to follow hashtags so you can see posts to particular topics on your home screen without having to switch to the Explore tab. When you search for a hashtag or click on one, a follow button will appear. Not all posts with the hashtag are included. Instagram uses an algorithm to select images to be included in the hashtag feed.
Now this one I like.
That will never go wrong.
This one is making sense to me, which is I actually want to follow topics in Instagram. I'm not saying I did, but I think it's cool that I can. And now they will just show up in my main feed. I don't have to go search them out separately. And I get cross Instagram exposure to people that I wouldn't have followed anyway. I know that, Patrick, you were just saying that the algorithm will never go wrong. I come at it from the other side of like, I don't care if it goes wrong a little bit, but I do want it to get rid of most of the spam. I don't want it to be useless. So if one or two weird things slip through from time to time, I'm going to be forgiving of that. What I would like is to say like, hey, I just want to follow posts about the St. Louis Blues or the Grove Christmas tree or whatever, you know, and just be able to turn that on and off and mostly get quality posts.
I agree. I think it's even it's a great feature, and maybe they could separate people you follow from topics you follow. But I think on Instagram, it makes sense. I'm wondering if, you know, I've been thinking that could make sense in some form on Twitter as well. And I was surprised they never integrated it to follow topics rather than people. But yeah, I was joking. I think it's a good feature.
I really don't use hashtags on Instagram ever, unless I'm trying to be funny. And I don't really follow them either. But event-based hashtags, for example, a wedding, because all weddings have hashtags now.
Right.
That I can see. Oh, okay, that's just eliminating one more step if I wanted to see who else had, you know, posted from this event that I was either a part of or interested in.
Yeah. We had a hashtag for our vacation once.
Well, I've probably done that too.
Yeah.
Can't really remember, but. You know, hashtags there.
Hashtag JK Vacay.
Hello, summer of puppies and what right. was it?
Summer
fall of cats.
Autumn of cats. Fall of cats.
Autumn
yeah.
Of cats. Autumn of cats. Winter of, I don't know. We got to move on to cheetahs or something at this point. All right, moving on. Google launched 3 new photo apps. This was actually yesterday. Storyboard for Android chooses 6 frames from a video, converts them to comic book art, and then lays them out in one of 6 styles. Selfissimo, I love the name of that one, for iOS and Android, takes automatic black and white selfies every time you pose and then lays them out in a contact sheet, kind of like old school photographers' contact sheets. And then finally, Scrubbies for iOS lets you swipe on a video to change the speed and direction to create looping videos. Sounds sort of familiar. Google calls these the first installments in a series of apps-periments.
Yeah, the difference between Scrubbies from Loop or any of the others is that you just touch to do it. It's way easier, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of cool. I was fine with these as like, oh, little experimental apps. Okay, Storyboard. Oh, that's kind of cool. It makes it look like comic book. Oh, contact sheets. Oh, that, an easier way to do loops. Then they called them app-speriments.
Oh, Tom, app-speriment is something you would say.
And the self-loathing in me said, I don't know if I'm comfortable with them being as bad as I am at this.
It is kind of silly, but yeah.
These are cool,
though. I don't know. I mean, listen, it's the photo apps always seem to come in waves towards the end of the year, and I think it's just because developers are like, a bunch of people are going to be with their families, they're going to be taking photos that maybe they, you know, wouldn't be doing the rest of the year. So I'm all for it,
yeah.
Especially if they're free.
Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You can go up to your Amazon Echo and just say, hey, add Daily Tech Headlines to my flash briefing, and she'll do it. She'll do it. She's crazy. Try it. Google Home also can do it. Anchor has a version of Daily Tech Headlines. All of it available to keep you up to date in a brief fashion and not take away from the day. Keep you light and efficient for the modern 80s person. DailyTechHeadlines.com. All right. Facebook's former head of user growth, Chamath Palihapitiya, told the Stanford Graduate School of Business that he feels tremendous guilt over Facebook's role in society. He said, quote, "We have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works." Now, Palihapitiya says he doesn't use social networks anymore. That's his solution, and he hasn't for years. Facebook said he also hasn't worked here for years, 6 years to be exact, and we don't think he understands that the company is very different than it was when he left. So Facebook taking a little bit of umbrage at it, but I don't think his expression is unusual. We have a lot of people saying, I think social media is ruining this country / world, depending on where you sit. And Patrick, you had an interesting thought about the culture of outrage and the bottles and bubbles that we live in when we use social media.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of culture of outrage is something that I've been discussing and developing on the Phileas Club for a little while, because it seems that we're always angry about everything in a way that we weren't before. And along with that article and a few others, it led me to think about actually the bubbles that we've all acknowledged exist to an extent for pretty much everyone, that of course everyone knows confirm kind of the biases you have and trap you in a social environment on social networks where you constantly get confirmation of what you already think, right? And that's a pretty accepted idea. And we've kind of learned to, if not fight it, at least be aware of it. And I think that what we're starting to realize is that we have the bubbles for sure, but we also have what I call anti-bubbles, and maybe there's a better name for it. It's kind of a developing idea, but anti-bubbles are also an effect of social media, where we know that there are things that are going to upset us in the world, and they have always been there. But what social media does is that they present it to you all the time if you go looking for them. And they will genuinely upset you and send you into an outrage loop. And it makes you feel like those things have more weight and more presence than they actually do. It's not that they don't exist or that they're not factual, but the importance you put on them is increased. And the fact is, kind of in the same way that you can always find someone that has the same interest as you on the internet because it's so vast, If something upsets you, and everyone has many things that upsets them, you're going to be presented with them all the time. You know, it's not just like TV where you're presented with upsetting stuff sometimes, or 24 hours news network where it's really annoying, but it's a little bit remote, the things that you see, because it's bad news, but it's a bit remote from you. And on top of that, you don't have the guy sitting next to you virtually on the social network saying something that is even more upsetting.
Well, I think the difference between 24-hour news and Twitter is the person is saying it to you, right?
Exactly.
And you can talk back to them. Whereas you kind of went through the stages. There's, oh, they said it in the newspaper. That's a thing over there. I'm not involved. They said it on TV. Oh, I can see them. It's like I'm in the room, but I can't actually, they can't hear me if I talk back. Social media, everybody, even if they don't necessarily talk, the perception is I'm in the room with you. You are talking to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, even our brief conversation about Tinder adding the feed earlier in the show, which isn't, it's not really introducing new features that you couldn't get through Tinder otherwise, it's just baking it more into the app. That's a really good example of something like Tinder saying, well, you know, if you're on a dating profile and you got like four photos up, they probably don't change all that much. But your Instagram feed is alive and that's really the you, right? That's how people get to know you better. But it's like, well, that may or may not be true. It depends on the person. I'm sure I have lots of ideas of what people's lives are like based on social media that are just completely untrue. And yeah, there is that kind of immediacy of, if I reply to something that one of you say, and then you reply back to me, there's this real-time gratification that we've all become very used to. And no, you know, Chamath is also like a, you know, billionaire and owns the Warriors and hangs out with lots of celebrities. So maybe he doesn't feel the need to spend so much time on social networks looking at pictures of said celebrities. But I think, you know, it has shaped our behavior in a way that I wouldn't say it's a blanket, oh, we've all become worse humans. But I think it's clearly problematic in a variety of ways. And I'm not sure how different Facebook is from 6 years ago when, you know, he was kind of pointing fingers at the company.
I think his answer is interesting, definitely saying, you know, my solution, you know, it's ripping apart society, which I think to an extent I would agree with. But his answer is, well, I'm not going to use it at all. And I think that's a little bit, that's not going to work because it's here to stay and people are using it. I think the important thing to remember here, whether it's with bubble or anti-bubbles or whatever problem these social networks create, what they really mean is that they're changing society. To an extent, I think that's what we're realizing, to an extent that we didn't think was going to be that large. And so what we have to do as societies is understand how that's changing and adapt to that change. And that's happened many, many times before. And the frustrating thing is that it takes time in a context where things are more and more immediate and real time. But taking time, you know, I think within a few years, maybe a couple of decades, we're going to have to learn to adapt to it because it is changing the way we interact and the way we perceive things.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I've talked about this a lot. There are things that you see now that existed before, but you just didn't see them. In fact, Patrick, you found a pretty hilarious example of that. Going back to the 1800s, it's we all know what everybody else is saying right now, even though we don't really, but we know a lot more, a lot higher percentage of what people are saying. But what was this thing from 1839 that you found?
So I talked about this anti-bubble idea to my wife, and she's a history buff, so she thought about pamphlets, which throughout the years and the centuries have been used for many things, including sowing dissent and even incite revolution. I was talking about this, and Brian on Twitter found a pamphlet that was basically used as a tweet. Maybe I can read a little bit of it. It's someone called William Tradewell, posting in 1839, saying, "To the public, the object of this placard is to inform the public that General Lee Reed has declined giving me an apology for the insult offered me at St. Mark on the 5th. To that he has also refused to me that satisfaction, which, as an honorable man, refusing to apologize, he was bound to give. I therefore pronounce him a coward and a scoundrel." This is a tweet.
It's an October 26th, 1839 tweet.
Yeah.
From Tallahassee,
Florida. There you go. I guess my reaction to this was, first of all, thanks to Brian. And second, if we think that technology changes us, I think we're very mistaken. And this is a brilliant example.
And
of it.
Keep in mind, I think Patrick's original point here about the anti-bubble is very worth considering. The representation bias is powerful. It's powerful in newspapers. It's powerful in television news. It's much more powerful on social media than all of those, where you think the person talking to you represents a large number of people. And there are certain organizations and movements taking advantage of that right now and trying to make their views feel like they're more popular than they are.
Yeah. And so ultimately, I think that this, just like we now are aware and we take a second to understand that something might just be a confirmation of our bias, I think it's also important to understand that something that is outrageous might be something that is, you know, outraging because it's just being presented in that way. And not saying that we should never be outraged, but outrage is useful in some cases, and we should definitely be outraged sometimes. But being outraged all the time is definitely not useful or healthy. So we should take a minute before, you know, to decide whether or not we should be outraged about this thing, even though it is outrageous on the face of it.
Well, there is definitely something to the sort of annual social network cleanse that I know a lot of people in my circles do because they get so fed up with everything. And how great everybody feels on the other side. Sure, results may vary, but that does tell you something about the pressure that all of this is putting on us.
I think what we're all saying is before you demand a duel with General Reed, step away from your placard for an hour or two, you know, maybe go down to the general store and have a seltzer water and think about it.
Save that tweet as a draft.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sit on it. Sit on it for a few.
They sit on the placard, literally. Just. Yeah. Thanks to all those who participate in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Time for the thing of a day. Chris Christensen has a way to help save money on lodging by speaking English. Chris, tell us more.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. One of the things I'm often asked is, how can I travel for less money? A lot of us who like to travel would like to travel more, but money is sometimes an obstacle. And there's a site that I've come across I have not had a chance to use yet, but I like the idea, and it's GoCambio, GoCambio.com. And this is a site where if you were traveling and you're an English speaker, preferably a native English speaker, and you probably speak English if you're listening to this, then you can sign up to potentially stay for free in someone's home. Right now they're featuring Italy, Japan, Spain, Germany, and France. in exchange for giving them English lessons. So you spend part of your time there helping them to learn English, and they give you a room to stay. It's just an interesting idea. I like the idea. And if you have tried it, let me know how it worked for you. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
You can teach them things like the bathroom is out of order, or I will not be able to pay you. Apologies. Well,
but in all seriousness, I've sometimes fantasized with the idea of like, oh, I could go to another country and teach English, but that seems like I got to move there and like get a job and the whole thing. Like, this is like an easy way to just dabble in that.
Yeah, and free lodging. All right, let's check the mailbag, Sarah.
Let's do it. Drew writes in, hey, Tom and crew, the Google app on Android will do song detection. This is in response to our Shazam story from yesterday. If you don't have a third-party app installed, just tap the mic like you're doing a voice search, and after a moment, you'll get a What's Playing button at the bottom of the screen. I've only tried this on Android, but it works.
And Christopher says, one thing I hadn't heard you mention when talking about Apple buying Shazam is that Apple's built-in Shazam functionality is available in Siri starting back in iOS 8. You can ask, what song is this? So maybe you've been thinking about this for a while, just to possibly, or maybe they, Apple, have been thinking about it for a while. Just an interesting, trivial little tidbit there. So that would make sense why Apple might want to buy Shazam. They'd already been working with them. And you can also do the same thing in Android, although it's not Shazam. It's a different thing.
Got another email from Randy, the tech director in Tennessee, and this is in response to us wondering why Netflix had tweeted out something against anyone who was watching The Christmas Prince every day for 18 days in a row. Kind of a cheeky tweet that I thought was maybe a little not that nice. So Randy says, data without the context, never a full picture. Unfortunately, I've been in a lot of waiting rooms over the past few months, and no one is showing news programs like they used to. Most are showing cooking or home shows. Maybe A Christmas Prince is being played in a waiting room, or it could just be one of the cast members' mothers.
Aww.
And that is true as well. Thank you for keeping us honest.
53 moms out there. It's a big cast.
Netflix honest anyway.
Could be. I've definitely seen Netflix playing in waiting rooms recently. And in fact, when I went to the dentist, they had switched from DirecTV while they work on your teeth to HBO Go. So...
Oh, interesting.
Do they have a license for this? Don't you need a license? It's a public.
I'm sure they've all paid their ASCAP, right. BMI, performance, whatever.
Excellent.
Yes.
Also, absolutely. I'm not sure it's ever gone 18 days long, but there have been long stretches where I really want to watch a movie and I keep falling asleep and I keep trying the next day.
Yeah, that's a good question. We didn't see if it was 18 days of completely watching it. Maybe it just took them 18 days to get through it.
18 days is a long stretch, but it could happen.
Like, all right, I'm going to finish this movie today, I swear. It's today 18. I've got to.
Thank you to Patrick Beja, as usual, for joining us on Tuesdays. Patrick Beja, what do you have going on in your life?
Well, a bunch of things, but the thing that I think might be of interest to the listeners would be, for example, the show The Phileas Club, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. It's impossible to spell, so just go to frenchspin.com and find it. We actually did an episode with Tom this weekend where we talked about the good old days. We reminisced. It wasn't just Tom and me. It was also Paolo from South Africa and Turkey from Saudi Arabia, and we talked about the 80s and 90s when we were young and sort of remembered how good we had it compared to all those youngins.
Remember stagflation and worrying if the Hells Angels were going to run you off the road? Those are the good old days.
Exactly. And it was episode 100. So it's never been a better time to get into the Phileas Club. And it's at frenchspin.com. Come hear us talk about World War II and Cold War.
I mean, honestly, like every episode of Phileas Club, this one was no exception in really getting some interesting perspectives on things from you and Turkey and the South African perspective from Paolo. Like, it was just really, really cool to be like, oh, I never thought of that. Never thought of that perspective. So thank you for doing that show. I think it's a great show.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind.
Well, we need you to keep being kind to us, folks. Thanks to everybody who has been continuing to support us in the myriad ways that you can. On Patreon, we're down 197 patrons on the month because of the reactions to the fee change. And we understand a lot of that has nothing to do with your thoughts on the show. In fact, we've made up a lot of the money we lost from people switching to PayPal. And that's great. Even though we don't have a really good way to provide the perks that Patreon allows us to provide through PayPal, we're glad that you want to support us. So whatever way you can support the show, we just ask you to keep doing so. DailyTechNewsShow.com/support has all the different ways, and we'll keep updating that if we add new ways along the ways. But still, the best way we think to support the show is Patreon.com/DTNS.
Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. Questions, comments, have a strong feeling about something we talked about? Give us an email. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our full mothership, the place where you've got it all, is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Sweet.
Yes.
Excellent.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Good show. What should we call it?
Boom.
Let's call it Serena.
Right, a tweet storm on the horizon.
Or that. That would be good, too.
What's your experience with experiments?
Experiment nitrate.
Anti-social media, the three stages of social media outrage. It's 130 Vinru Hosar, Tinder love and share, Nintendo Switch hit. If you want to blow up my Twitter, hold this thread as you tweet away. Culture of outrage, Switch's niche, iMac, whoa, how much? Facebook is social seam ripper.
I mean, I'd say iMac, but like, that's not even a new number.
1800s Twitter.
1800s Twitter is pretty good.
1800s Twitter is good.
19th century Twitter.
Or like 1800s era tweet storms, something.
There's a tweet storm on the horizon.
I love the last phrase of the thing. I therefore pronounce him a coward and a scoundrel.
I don't think he talked like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sure he did.
Oh, he did.
I'm pretty sure they did. I think that's exactly how they talked.
What about tweet storm of the century? No.
Roger is intrepid. No.
Intrepid. No. There's a tweet storm on the horizon.
The outrage is always greater on the other side of the bubble. Anti-social media is pretty good too. Come on. What's got everybody excited? Come on. Talk to me.
I like 1800 tweet storms.
All right, done.
Oh, 1800s tweet storms. So combining them.
Yes.
Well, perfect. I thought that gave it a little bit more context.
No, I like it. I like it. So, Dark Redeemer and Nick with a C, you can both claim victory.
You both fight teamwork.
Today.
Buddy system.
And battle for credit. In our arena of shame. No, it's not shame. It's the opposite. What's the opposite of shame?
Pride.
Hubris. Arena of pride.
A pride of hubris.
A pride of lions, also.
Yeah.
They're very arrogant cats from what I've been told.
They're prideful.
Prideful animals.
Yeah. Proud to be the king of beasts.
Chris Pride.
Which just furthers our big cat. Running joke.
He used to be the king of beats.
You know what's so weird, Tom, was before the cheetah appeared in our spreadsheet, and I understand no one's going to understand what that means.
Right.
But it did. Yesterday, I kind of had a weird thing where I was taking a bunch of screenshots of just various whatevers, and one of them just was hovering over all of my application windows.
Oh, I've had that happen where just something gets stuck on your screen.
Yeah. And it's kind of like on iOS now. Yeah, I'm used to that. So I know how to swipe it away.
Yeah.
But it's like, it was not swipe away, but I had to restart the computer. So for a second I was like, oh no, this is getting really weird.
I don't know what cheetah you're talking about, Sarah. I never saw a cheetah in our dock. Patrick, did you see a cheetah in our dock?
I don't know what you're talking about either.
There was a small window of time today where there was a large photo of a cheetah in our spreadsheet for the show today.
No, there can't have been.
I've never even seen a photo in there before, so I was like,
it took me a while to figure out how to paste the photo in, actually. Yeah. What were we? Oh, because you said. There you go again, Tom, stealthily moving through the spreadsheet like a cheetah.
Right.
Although I don't remember now the context of that.
Well, it was basically because like you were sort of like, hey, can you, you know, clean up the quick hits? And I was like, here's my suggestion for another one. And it was like, too late.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, and here's my, and it's like, nope, Patrick went, nope, that's not what we're doing. So I was like, just like three steps behind.
Right, you could have still, like, sometimes I do that. Knowing that, like, you'll say, like, oh, I think this one should be moved out of the quick hits. So,
yeah, well, that's, yeah. I also,
but also
actually was really glad that we talked about Nintendo. I thought that was a good conversation. If it were me, I would have been like, oh, it's just numbers, you know, that's a quick hit, but
numbers, 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 business, business, business.
But there's more to it.
So, let me tell you about this movie I saw called The Greatest Showman. Thought I was going to say something else.
Yeah,
is this something we're talking about or not talking about?
Well, all right. So I may or may not have, I totally did. I got a chance to see Star Wars The Last Jedi with my wife, who works for Rotten Tomatoes, so she got a press preview screening. Mm-hmm. She was very nice in getting me in. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm sure there's like half a dozen people who have already turned off this stream or this podcast just out of fear that I was going to say something about it. I did tweet a link to a very small amount of information about what I thought. It's not much.
The only thing I saw from you was that it was over 2 hours long.
Yeah. Well, yesterday I was under NDA until 9 a.m. this morning. So yesterday I was like, I just saw a movie. It was this long because that was all I could say. Today I could say more. They still don't want you to spoil things, and I wouldn't. But I know that people, even just hearing, like, did you like it? Did you not like it? Et cetera. Just hearing general impressions, some people are like, I don't even want to know that. I don't want to know nothing. So that's right, I'm respecting that.
Good. Well, I am excited to hear your thoughts when you're ready to share them.
Yes. Well, I'm excited to share my thoughts when people are ready to hear them.
Well, whenever that is, I'm excited.
For sure on Cord Killer Spoiler in Time Monday, we'll be talking about it. Because that is a place where we spoil things avowedly. So.
Valiantly?
Valiantly, yes. Bravely spoiling things.
Spoiling where no one has spoiled before.
Valiente. So yeah, if you really want, that's kind of the official place where I'll be talking about what I thought. Freaking Brian Brushwood is one of the people who has said, I don't want to even know what people think of it. I just want to go in fresh. He called me today. I was like, so what'd you think? I'm like, you don't want me to tell you that. You don't. You don't want me to say anything. He's like, but I kind of do. But I don't. But I do.
I mean, if I understand Star Wars is kind of a special case, but if I'm really excited about a movie and spoilers are utmost concern, I want to avoid them.
Yeah.
I still, like, I'm not going to be weirded out if someone's like, that movie was great.
No.
I think I would probably be bummed if I was excited about a movie and someone I trust is like, that movie was terrible.
And the other thing is, you know, people are, this movie has so much hype around it that I think people are extra sensitive to the raised expectations.
Sure.
Or, you know, ruined it by trashing it. Effects.
Yeah.
Like, because it can go either way.
It might be better to be like, I have no idea if anyone even liked this movie.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go in blind, which is exciting.
Yesterday, when we were waiting in line to come inside, there was a screening finishing up and people were coming out. And Eileen and I and the two people in line ahead of us were all like, we don't even want to look. We don't even want to see their expressions. We don't want to know anything.
The thing is, there's only one opportunity to get the fresh experience. So
yeah,
I kind of get it.
No, totally.
I mean, I more than get it. I'm a spoiler Nazi.
You,
I don't.
Oh,
I don't,
you, don't say that. You're a spoiler martinet.
See, I did that with the soup Nazi the other day, and Tom was like, "Nope, that's not a word we use."
I don't think that's a word I want to throw around.
A person of a.
Well, so what about grammar Nazi?
Yeah, I'd give that one that one on pause for a while.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't say it. I'm not trying to restrict speech. I'm just like, it brings up a whole lot of other conversations that it didn't used to. That's all.
Yeah. I guess
well,
it does.
I get to see the movie on Friday, mm-hmm. Which is, it's amazing because I'd love to be like, I was so on top of that. I got tickets, but that's not true. everything was sold out by the time I got around to doing it. But a friend of mine who lived in LA until very recently, and just for reasons that don't matter, had to move, was like, I'm not going to be in LA.
Oh.
And I was like, sure do. So,
very cool. Yeah, I'm actually going Thursday. Because originally I bought tickets for Thursday thinking that would be the first time I would get a chance to see it.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. In fact, I got to think about that. Who's going with me?
All right. Anything else you want to say to the folks on the YouTube stream before I stop the broadcast?
Only that we have nothing but undying admiration for all of you.
Yeah, that exactly what she said.
Awesome. Patrick?
I'm Patrick. Waving goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay.
See you guys mañana.
Bye.
Goodbye. But that's actually, goodbye to the video people. The audio people are still here.
It's like the party never stops.
Oh, the party does not stop. The party just started now with you guys.
You know what it is? We're in the speakeasy room now.
Yeah.
You like everyone's out in the main bar. It's cool. That
now
was
you
fun.
Can speak easy. Doesn't mean I'm
is,
still going to say anything more.
Is the speakeasy room like the place where the music is not as loud so you can talk?
Right. You can speak easier.
Ooh, maybe we can use some sort of a speakeasy theme for our, you know, our pre and post.
For good day patrons.
For good day patrons. Although what could top that as a title?
Yeah.
Good day patrons. Welcome to the speakeasy.
Welcome to the speakeasy, where you can speak easy.
And on that note, I'm going to abscond.
Yes, you get the true goodbye from Patrick.
And I bid you all farewell.
Bonne
in
nuit.
A manner of speech that was common in the 19th century.
You, sir, are not a scoundrel.
All right. Person.
Bye.
Bye, Patrick. Au revoir. All right, folks. That's all I got. I'll be honest. We're going to go and record the retro show now, which will be one of the holiday specials that you voted for. Well, the advisors voted for. So we're going to do that. It's me, Sarah, Roger, and Jen Cutter is going to join us for that. I'm very excited.
Great.
We're going to go back to 1983, when long before all four of us were born. Yep. Definitely not using an actual 1983 magazine that I subscribed to as a child as a source for this show. Definitely not.
Speaking of,
yes.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for supporting us. You guys are the best. And we're going to endeavor to keep giving you a little more extra in your audio feed. So let us know what you think. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys and gals.